This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello, welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us. I'm Douglas Impuga, and here is what's coming up.
Our two countries share similar aspirations and values. We're both committed to democratic governance with its respect for human rights, the rule of law, and the principles of democratic accountability.
U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris visits Ghana. We have lots more on the U.S. Vice President's visit coming up. Also, a lawyer involved in the case against Paul Rusesabagina speaks about his release. And corruption experts weigh on reports of illegal gold exports in Zimbabwe. All this and more coming up on Africa News Tonight. U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris is in Accra, the first stop on her three-nation visit to Africa this week. She met with Ghana's President Nana Akufo-Addo today. For analysis of her trip to Ghana, VOA's Peter Klote reached Professor Bafo Ajeman-Dua. He is the co-founder of the Center for Democratic Development, CDD, and CEO of the John Ajekum Kufuor Foundation.
In her statement, she made references to exactly what you said, but the immediate needs of the country, which are basically the area of infrastructure. Roads are very poor in Ghana. We have water, but it's not across the country, and those kind of things. So I think whilst we appreciate these kinds of support that the vice president is promising, a lot of people will wish that attention will be paid to shore up the economy, especially now that we are facing serious indebtedness. We are trying to negotiate with the IMF to be bailed out and all. And that's affecting domestic production and all. So I think looking at the productive sector of the country and helping the country to negotiate equitably with American companies that are doing business here, all those are, for me, critical concerns. I do not dismiss her emphasis on empowerment of girls and women, empowerment of young entrepreneurs. I don't dismiss those, but I'm saying that we are currently facing some real challenges of our economy, and that's where perhaps some attention should be paid.
Would you think that the administration in Accra will engage to consider that as part of some of the things she wanted to discuss?
Oh, I wish I was privy to what the government will be discussing with the vice president during her visit. But of course, I will not be surprised if the government requests the vice president to find a way to support Ghana's negotiations with the IMF, because the current pressing need for this government is to get this bailout by the IMF. And the negotiations are making a lot of demands on the economy, imposing excessive taxation here and there, all as conditions to meet before the IMF gives the money. So I won't be surprised if the president in a meeting with the vice president requests some kind of American support in getting their way with the IMF. That would not surprise me, because a very, very pressing issue currently.
Some people are suggesting that African countries appear to be getting a lot of attention from Western countries purely because they want to, one, deepen relations with Africa, and two, perhaps counter the growing influence of China on the continent. What is your take?
Oh, I'm pretty sure it's part of it. But I have to also say that the relation between Ghana and the U.S. is not recent. It started way back in the 50s with our independence, when then Vice President Nixon came to Ghana to celebrate our independence. And since then, Ghana has maintained cordial relations to a large extent. As you know, Ghanaians are also very much fascinated by American democracy and America's educational system. So a lot of Ghanaians, including myself, we studied in the United States. So that has been the traditional relationship. But of course, in the realities of the global situation is that China has also become equally powerful and is looking for friends everywhere, including Africa. And China has been very active. So if you take China's own interest vis-a-vis the Russian-Ukraine war that is causing a lot of havoc around the world, and the Russians also seeking to make friends in Africa, then you can understand why America's strategy should include some kind of increased relationship with Africa as a way of maybe checking the extent to which the Chinese can penetrate. So that is the global level of, I think, strategies for these superpowers. But I think, look, Africans have to be mindful of their own situation. I think we have our own challenges. And I don't believe any superpower can solve this problem for us if we are not mindful of how we manage our own affairs.
That's Professor Bafour Ajimandua. He was speaking with my colleague Peter Clotem. After Ghana, Kamala Harris will continue on to Tanzania, where she plans to meet President Samia Suluhu Hassan, and then to Zambia to meet President Hakainde Hichilema. Harris's trip is part of the administration's efforts to deepen relations with the continent as well as counter China's influence. Ghana's President Nana Akufo-Addo Monday delivered a joint address with Vice President Kamala Harris after their meeting. During the press briefing, both leaders spoke about how the two nations will strengthen their relationship. Akufo-Addo told reporters that when he met Harris in 2021, they pledged to explore areas of interest for the mutual benefit of their nations. The West African leader said Harris's visit bolsters that commitment.
This visit reinforces our commitment to engage each other further. Our two countries share similar aspirations and values. We're both committed to democratic governance with its respect for human rights, the rule of law, and the principles of democratic accountability. We're member states of the United Nations with a mutual attachment to its values and principles. We have collaborated effectively on several matters over the years, and a major outcome of this afternoon's meeting was the reaffirmation of our commitment to collaborate further and provide mutual support at both multilateral and bilateral levels.
Harris said Washington is determined to strengthen its relationship with the continent. She expressed excitement about Africa's economic growth and its youth.
The median age on the continent of Africa is 19. Think about what that means in terms of potential. Think about the fact that by 2050, 1 in 4 people occupying a place on Mother Earth will be on this continent, and what that means. The trip that I have taken to come here, being here, is about recognizing the incredible opportunity with a sense of optimism about what we do now and how it will impact the world going forward.
That was Ghana's President Nana Akufo-Addo and U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris at their news briefing at Jubilee House in Ghana's capital, Accra. Journalist Kent Mensah spoke with people in Accra about Vice President Harris's visit. Festus Apong says he welcomed it.
Kamala Harris's trip to Africa, I think, is a very welcome one. And the fact that she's coming to Ghana first and specifically is one that I'm very happy about for several reasons. The first of which is that currently the country is in dire economic straits, and for sure there will no doubt be funds that will be made available to the government of the day to help it in the implementation of its policy. And considering that we just got done implementing the domestic debt exchange program, I think such an amount will go a long way to helping the country, even if not settle external debts, at least help with sorting ourselves out internally. I think that's the first part. And the second part for me is the fact that currently Ghana is bordered by countries where safety is an issue, countries where violent extremism is the norm now, countries where there have been coups and violent takeovers. So that sets off alarm bells. And as a country, having the Vice President of the United States of America come here, I have no doubt that there will be talks on issues of security, which I think is a prime thing that they should do, because without security, there can be little that can be achieved. So Kamala Harris's arrival in Ghana is a very welcome one, as I already stated, and is one that I'm very happy about.
Winfrey Olate says the visit comes at a good time for the region.
I think Kamala Harris's visit to Africa and Ghana is very important. Being such a significant figure and being the highest profile member of President Joe Biden's administration, you see, the U.S. intends to deepen relationships with Africa amid global competition over the continent's future has come at the right time. Harris is arriving at a time of, you know, severe challenges for not just Ghana, but other West African nations as well. I also believe her visit will promote economic growth and food security in a country that faces a debt crisis and soaring inflation that are driving up the cost of food and other necessities. Now, my expectation, I'm really hoping that this relationship renewal counters China's influence, which has become entrenched in recent years through infrastructure initiatives like lending money and expanding telecommunications network. The U.S. should really pay more attention to Africa, talking about more scholarships. It's exciting to hear the investments made to fight terrorism in some African countries. It's really a step in the right direction, having Kamala Harris here in Ghana.
Harris is the highest profile official from the Biden administration to visit Africa. She follows several U.S. officials, including Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen. Last month, U.S. First Lady Jill Biden visited Namibia and Kenya. Burkina Faso's military government has suspended all broadcasts by France 24 media after it aired an interview with the head of Al-Qaeda in North Africa. The French news agency AFP reports that on March 6, France 24 broadcast written replies to questions given to the head of Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb. A government spokesman said the French broadcaster acted as a communications agency for the group and was lending legitimacy to terrorism and hate speech. In December, the government suspended Radio France International for airing a message of intimidation and attributed it to a terrorist chief. The military government in neighboring Mali has also suspended broadcasts by RFI and France 24 after they published allegations implicating the country's army in abuses against civilians. You are listening to Africa News Tonight. I'm Douglas Ipuga in Washington. For more information on these and other stories from the continent, please see voaafrica.com. There you'll find all your favorite VOA radio and TV programs and a whole lot more. For world news, check out voanews.com. A human rights lawyer who monitored Paul Rusesabagina's trial on behalf of the American Bar Association and the Clooney Foundation for Justice says he's relieved the Kigali hotelier portrayed in the film Hotel is now free. The Belgian citizen and U.S. resident was freed from prison in Rwanda late Friday. Rusesabagina was charged with supporting an opposition coalition whose armed faction was responsible for attacks in the country. Lawyer Geoffrey Robertson tells VOA's Carol Van Damme the trial did not follow international standards.
Essentially, he was kidnapped or taken by subterfuge to Rwanda rather than Burundi and didn't realize he was in Kigali until he was arrested. And then he was put on trial. And I came into the picture because I was asked by the Clooney Foundation and the American Bar Association to monitor his trial and to write a report on it. So that is how I wasn't able to attend it, of course, but I read every word of the transcript and was able to conclude that his trial had failed to measure up to international fair trial standards for a number of reasons. And I gather that my report was one of the matters considered by the Biden administration when it put pressure on Rwanda to release him.
And why did the Rwandan government decide to release him now?
Well, I gather there was considerable pressure from the United States. And, of course, Rwanda is hoping to receive quite a large number of asylum seekers from Britain, which in breach of international law and the Refugee Convention is planning to send those who arrive on British shores without examining whether they are genuine refugees. They will simply deposit them in Rwanda, and it will, so that country needs to show, for Britain at least, and to enable Britain to pretend to the world that it is a safe haven.
He was released on Friday, late Friday, and he's a Belgian citizen, as you know, as well as a U.S. resident. Do you have any idea where he is now?
No, I don't. It would depend where the plane takes him, but at least he's out of prison in Rwanda. He was having health problems there, and so I trust that he's now in a hospital, a good hospital, either in Belgium or maybe in the United States.
That's human rights lawyer Geoffrey Robertson, who wrote a report for the Clooney Foundation for Justice on Paul Rusesabagina's trial in Rwanda. He was speaking to my colleague Carol Van Damme from London. Rwanda's government says Rusesabagina committed several crimes and has denied allegations the case was politically motivated. A government spokesperson told VOA that while there has been a lot of international attention to Rusesabagina's case, Rwanda has a history of forgiving even the unforgivable, including those found to have played a role in the country's 1994 genocide. She said Rusesabagina requested clemency and accepted moral responsibility for the crimes he was convicted of and promised not to get involved in politics. The government of Zimbabwe and senior officials linked to President Emmerson Mnangagwa have denied they are involved in gold smuggling, money laundering, and other crimes. A documentary broadcast internationally last week alleged that organized crime groups are linked to top Southern African political figures. Darren Taylor reports.
Al Jazeera's journalists gained access to political figures and business people close to Zimbabwe's president, Emmerson Mnangagwa, by posing as Chinese investors who wanted to launder money. Filmed by hidden cameras, presidential envoy Hubert Angel told them he'd be able to arrange for gold to be smuggled out of the country. He added he'd use his diplomatic status to bring large amounts of dollars in gold profit back to Zimbabwe. In a statement to Zimbabwe's Mail newspaper, Angel described the documentary as misinformation and that time would reveal he's not guilty of any crime. Some economists say gold is the best way for the Zimbabwean government to get dollars for its struggling economy. But international sanctions imposed because of alleged human rights abuses mean legal exports attract high scrutiny from global financial authorities. Julian Rademeyer is with the Global Initiative Against Transnational Organized Crime in Pretoria.
I think it gives you quite a shocking insight into the levels of duplicity and greed at play.
He says the four-part Al Jazeera documentary is valuable because it puts names and faces to the crime groups controlling Zimbabwe's gold industry.
The scale of illegal gold trafficking out of Zimbabwe is not that surprising, but I think that, you know, there's the shock factor in seeing this play out and seeing the sort of machinations behind the scenes, the political linkages play out, and the contempt that some of these people have. You know, you have pastors and politicians and diplomats.
In the documentary, Ambassador Angel makes a phone call to someone he identifies as Henrietta Rushwaya, president of the Zimbabwe Miners Association. Rushwaya is also President Mnangagwa's niece. A woman's voice is heard saying smuggling 100 kilograms of gold every week won't be a problem. In his statement, Angel says he wasn't speaking with Rushwaya, but a decoy after he became suspicious of the so-called investors. Zimbabwean journalist Hopewell Chinono was jailed in 2020 after he wrote about Rushwaya.
She had been caught in October of 2020 at Robert Mugabe International Airport trying to smuggle 6.7 kilograms of gold to Dubai. So these are powerful individuals. If you cross their paths, you get arrested. You get thrown into prison, like what happened to me.
Angel also told the undercover reporters that Mnangagwa had approved the money laundering operation. Rademeyer says most gold leaving Zimbabwe does so illegally.
You've also seen the government try and crack down on that to also try and take advantage of gold production in the country, taxing it heavily, which has made black market gold transactions all the more attractive. The primary destination for much of the gold from Zimbabwe is Dubai.
There are some estimates that almost $400 million worth of gold is smuggled out of Zimbabwe every month. In Johannesburg, Africa-Asia Dialogues director Thembisa Fakude says the alleged smuggling in Zimbabwe is happening in every African country where there are extractive industries.
The journalists are left by themselves in terms of fighting this scourge of corruption in Africa, because even the opposition parties have been weakened. In many countries in Africa, instead of them playing the political opposition, that responsibility has now been left to the media. And that's why you find continued harassment, torture and imprisonment of journalists, unfortunately.
Media investigations have linked people in South Africa with Zimbabwe's gold smugglers. Rademeyer alleges Zimbabwean smugglers enter South Africa freely, selling gold for rands. For VOA News, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
VOA Africa is your trusted source for news, sports, entertainment, and music. Stay engaged with VOA Africa. We love to hear your voice. You can call us 24/7 on WhatsApp and leave a message. Leave comments, requests, or greetings. We may play your message on VOA Africa. Dial the international code +1, then 202-258-3076. VOA Africa is always happy to hear your voice. The number again is the international code +1, then 202-258-3076.
And that wraps up this edition of African News Tonight. I'm Douglas Impoga in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent, 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. On behalf of the African News Tonight team, thank you for choosing the Voice of America.
Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station.